raise a responsible adult? I put a lot of thought into that. In fact, I wrote a little curriculum called Raising a Responsible Adult, a book and a workbook. And we've done, hundreds of conferences and thousands of people on this topic of parenting. It goes back to the very root of what this ministry was and is, Parent Talk. And of course, we've broadened to include all relationships and how to be intentional in those relationships for God's glory and for our benefit. But raising responsible adults is sort of in the DNA, the fabric of who we are as a ministry. And so today we continue a discussion from earlier in the week on what are you doing to raise a responsible adult? What's working for you? I said back then on Tuesday that when I was young in the ministry, young in parenting, had all the answers. The teen years had more questions. And now, with a lot of experience and working with a lot of people, I'm here to teach you some principles. Principles allow you to adapt to what your unique situation is. But if you follow principles and let those principles guide how you make decisions as a parent, they'll make a difference in your life. So the question is, what are you doing? Let's get to the first caller, Debbie in Arizona. So tell us how you've been raising a responsible adult.
Well, you asked about transitioning from young adults to adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to kind of tell you how we did it when we were raising our kids, and it seemed to work. They turned into awesome young ladies and married wonderful young Christian men.
Fantastic.
And they have awesome families.
All right, so give us some of your tips. What seemed to work for you?
Okay. When our daughters were about 16, and old enough to get jobs, we told them that this is how much that we can give you for school clothes, and if you want something else for your school clothes, if you want the nice Nike tennis shoes, mm-hmm. or the Guess pants or whatever, then you'll have to get a job and you'll have to work for it.
Yeah, so you put them on like a budget. In other words, you got to buy your own clothes. You got to do these things. Here's how much we're going to give you to do that, and then you got to learn how to manage
right.
it. How did they do
right.
with that?
They did. At first, let's put it this way. At first, they said, "Well, Mom, all of it, all of our friends' parents buy their own, buy this stuff yeah. for them," and we said, "Well, too bad, so sad."
And you got born into the wrong family, honey.
Yeah, well, that's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And we said, we will help you buy a, reliable used car.
Right.
But, to get a job and go back and forth to the job. But if you want a car, you have to buy your own gas and you have to pay for your own insurance.
Mean mom society here, right? Listen, I'm with you. Today, the expectations that young people have, not all, I understand, but generally the expectation in our culture today is you owe me. And teaching your kids to be responsible, set aside a budget. I love what you did. The kids just went back to school. Here's the budget for your school clothes. I'll go with you. You can pick out whatever you want, but when the money's gone, it's gone. You get one pair of really expensive jeans, great. Or would you rather get two or three, less expensive? It's up to you. You make the decision. But then living with the consequences, teaching your kids about these essential areas of life, about relationships, about money, about faith, about responsibility is really important. That's good stuff. Thank you for sharing that, Debbie. Talking about raising a responsible adult today, how do you do that? What's one thing that's worked for you? Let's get to the phone with Robert in Texas. Hey, Robert, you're on the air. What's your one thing?
Say the question again, please.
Hey, Robert, what's your one thing for raising a responsible adult?
Well, I'm serious about what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when he is older, he would not depart, right?
Yeah.
So, you just have to teach him the things that would be beneficial to him when he's an adult, right? Mainly the Word of God first, and then other things come, because yeah. right now all my kids are grown, right? And myself and my wife is together, and it's repeated itself because I am 4 years younger than my wife, and she's 81, you know, so right now I have a next kid in the house, which is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we just try to make ends meet and these things, but the relationship as husband and wife, the respect and everything is there, you know?
Yeah, it's important to maintain that. And Robert, listen, I want to just camp on something that you said, and it is a train up a child in the way he should go, and understand that scripture verse allows us, in fact, it commands us to get behind the eyes of our son or daughter, that we're raising them according to the values that we have, what we believe is important, what God has put into our heart as a parent, but also aware of the fact that every child has a unique bent. Every child has a unique way that they're wired. And you may be parenting your son in a certain way, and it just seems to be working, and everything's falling into place, and then you're struggling with your daughter. And a wise parent doesn't change their values, doesn't change what's important, doesn't change the messaging, doesn't, you know, change the way the families run, but may adapt on how they do that, may adapt to that child, get behind the eyes of that child, the unique bent of that child. You may have a strong-willed child, you may have a more compliant child, and understanding that the parenting techniques change between those two kind of personalities, even though the values and the things that you're communicating won't change. Understanding that is important. All right. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your call from Texas. Let me go to Holly is in Michigan. Hi, Holly. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you today?
Good. Appreciate your call. What part of Michigan are you calling from?
I'm actually en route, but right now I'm in Livonia, Michigan.
Oh, all right. So are you listening to the new, you're listening to our new Detroit station, 93.1?
I believe I am.
Well, fantastic.
And honestly, I just stumbled across this, so I think it's divine intervention.
Well, you were just spinning the dial and found Family Life Radio?
I did. I was listening for something good on my drive and came across it, and I thought I should call you because I'm a single parent and I've raised three beautiful adult children with a wonderful village, and they're all college educated by the grace of God. I didn't have a lot of money raising them, and I'm so proud of them.
Amen. So what is it you think you did? A single mom, what were some of the things that you look back and say, hey, I did that right?
I honestly think always letting them see the struggle, even if it, definitely lots of prayers, so I got to go there first. But I never tried to hide anything from them as far as the truth. They saw the struggle. They saw the responsibility, the hard work ethic. They all got jobs early on. They all paid their cell phone bills, even when so many people, you know, had their phone bills paid. They all did high school part-time work, and they were all involved in athletics, which I think if they get a group of good kids to rely on, that helps. So many kids today are isolated, and I reached out. I had a great group of friends that helped me raise them, good family people, and honestly, it's just, I think the best conversation we had recently with my adult children is that my daughter, who's about to get married in 2 weeks, said, my biggest fear was disappointing you. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to disappoint you, and they all agreed to that, which really shocked me.
Right, you see the influence you've had in their life and will continue to have in their life.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's always a struggle. I mean, you're constantly worried. Even when you're an empty nester, just became an empty nester in June, and it's a big change. Like, you just want to be there, but you got to have faith. You did the right thing.
And as soon as you get done worrying about them, then you'll be able to worry about the grandkids.
Absolutely. Yes, that is so true. But to all the parents, single or married, I mean, just pray.
Amen.
Constantly pray.
All right. Now, listen, you're a new listener. You didn't know about Family Life Radio before you found us on the dial?
I knew about Family Life Radio. Let me rephrase that. But I hadn't been listening regular.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad I'm listening because transition is hard. We're all going through it. And I think you have a lot of great conversations that I'm definitely going to be a part of going forward.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad to be on the air, Holly. And of course, we were in the area, but with a kind of a AM lower power outreach. And now with this super big signal at 93.1 all across Metro Detroit, over to Ann Arbor, moving up to Flint. And by the way, when you travel around the state of Michigan, we're like everywhere. If you go into the Tri-Cities or you go to Lansing or in Jackson or wherever you're traveling around the state, you're gonna find a Family Life Radio station signal. That's the home. That's where it all began. In Jackson, Michigan, 1966, in the basement of Warren and Shar Boldhouse on the Jericho Road. So all Jackson listeners, you know where that is, Jericho Road out there in the south end of Jackson. Anyway, that's where we began, and now 40-plus stations around the country, coast to coast, with one purpose. Listen, our goal is to do this. We want to affirm your faith, offer hope, and then help equip to live an intentional life in Christ. There's hope in Christ, but we can also experience hope every day. And we do that by living an intentional life in Him. We're here every day, 24 hours a day, to encourage you, to point you to Jesus, to encourage you on your journey. And I get a chance to step in here for a half hour with Intentional Living every day just to talk about life and relationships and how to make these principles work in marriage and parenting. So, Holly, welcome back. Glad you're listening. Let's take a break. I'll be back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Have you ever been so wrapped up in the big picture that you completely miss out on a crucial detail? Trust me, it happens. Sometimes the key to success lies in those tiny nuances that we tend to overlook. In Dr. Randy's teaching, When Small Things Aren't So Small, you'll learn four ways you can actually achieve success by diving into those seemingly insignificant issues beneath the surface. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. And when you give right now, we have something special for you from Dr. Randy's bookshelf. Max Lucado's Outlive Your Life. You were made to make a difference. Max makes the book of Acts come alive and applies it to the 21st century. To receive this month's teaching and the book by Max Lucado, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
At the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night, you'll have a lot of fun. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you ever noticed that it's sometimes very difficult to feel intimate and close to your spouse? I will teach you the power of one thing that will change your relationship for the rest of your lives.
Join Dr. Randy for the Intentional Love Marriage Date Night to find out the secret to intentional love that will transform your marriage. Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at New Beginnings Church in Albuquerque. Register at theintentionallife.com.
You know, five things can derail your marriage. We're going to talk about them. Commitment, of course, is number one. That's huge. It's unfortunate that sometimes we've been hurt. Maybe you're struggling today. You want to know, am I going to stay committed in this marriage or not? You're either in the game or out of the game. And commitment's a big deal. We're going to talk about that. And then the four really powerful things you can do if there's a lack of agreement, which is a value issue. Maybe you don't agree on faith or money, parenting, the roles in the home, in-laws, opposite sex friendships. How do you develop agreement? How do you solve problems? I'm going to give you the intentional living formula for that. Ineffective communication, bottom line, criticism kills, emotional blocking destroys, defensiveness will damage a marriage. How do we learn to listen? How do we get over hijacked emotions in our relationship? How do we learn to communicate? Communication is something we can learn. It's a skill. And in the brokenness of our world, the sinfulness of our world, communication is a huge problem and also the solution to a better marriage. Bad habits, we'll talk about that. And then unforgiveness. How do we learn to forgive? Maybe you feel more like you're a prison mate than a soulmate in your marriage. So it's going to be one of those evenings. We're going to have a lot of fun, but I'm going to give you some really practical stuff from the stories that I share. Coming up November 4th, Saturday night, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tickets have been going fast. This is just the first week we've officially mentioned it on the air. So I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the events to get that going, okay? All right, let's go to Beth, back to the callers from Arizona. Hi, Beth, how are you?
Hi there, Dr. Randy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
It's kind of fun. You have to do the disclaimers about the not being really the therapy, but I don't know. I think a lot of people do take it as a little bit of therapy. So,
well, hopefully it's helpful. That's the key. Thank you. What's been your one thing as a parent?
I've been trying many things. I have a 15-year-old son, single mother. I guess I've learned that the only solution, of course, is love. So I always tell them that you love them no matter what they do or say. the one thing is that the choices, like yesterday, I said, well, you know, you can go to bed and not take out the garbage, and if that's the choice you want to make, then, you know, you won't have a computer for a week. That's fine. And I said, oh, yeah, take out the trash. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's right. You have the choice to do so, but your consequence will be no computer. And,
yeah.
And so I've learned about the choices and the consequences to, and that will usually get my son motivated.
That's good.
To do what he needs to do.
Hey, let me jump in and give you an idea. Because we teach, you know, love and using natural consequences as part of the foundation of what we teach. Your 15-year-old gets up, goes to school, right?
Yes. Now, yeah, most time he was late, but yes, he does.
I gotcha.
It's his responsibility.
Gotcha. All right. Who makes a breakfast for him?
I gave him a snack bar. He actually took one this morning because he doesn't like to eat in the morning.
Okay. Well, all right. Who makes dinner?
Sometimes he says, Mommy, only has to make it. I was to get something myself. I don't want to eat that. So he knows how to cook what he wants to feed himself.
Oh boy, because I was going to give you the solution of the day, which is when you can tie, one of the powerful things about a consequence is this: the closer you can make the consequence to the behavior, the more effective it is. Because sometimes we mistake a consequence for punishment, and it's not, it's just a consequence. And so and this would be maybe for other parents today who are struggling with this, a child who's getting up late or not being responsible, like the trash is a great example, because in the morning when the child gets up and then there's no breakfast ready for him. Now, listen, your first thought is that's a punishment. No, here's the consequence. I can't make any breakfast because I have no more room for trash. I have no more room for the stuff that we got to get rid of. So once the trash goes out, then the restaurant of the kitchen of mom goes back into business. Isn't that reality? Restaurants will get closed down because they're not taking care of trash. And that can happen in homes too. Now listen, the point is tying those consequences to the reality of the behavior. All right. Sounds like you're doing a great job, Beth. Appreciate your call. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. And, have a beautiful day. Thank you.
We will. Thank you for calling. Talking about parenting, let's continue on here. I think we're going to Michael next in Kansas. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Doc. Nice to hear from you. And first of all, I'd like to compliment you on your station. I love listening to you guys all day long, all
Thank
week
you.
Long.
That's why we're on. Fantastic.
I love the music. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Second of all, when I was 18, I had a job, went in the military, bought a car, gave it to my sister. When I got out, I got it back. I believe that if these kids want nice things, get up, go get a job, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. I didn't buy my kids anything, but then my kids went right in the military after they got out of high school.
Yeah.
And they bought their own stuff. If you want something nice, like that lady said, her daughter said her friend's parents, go live with them then. See if they'll buy it for you. You also made a comment about if you had a 24-year-old kid living at home and all he did was play video games, which I despise, he'd be fasting. He'd be fasting real quick. You know, if he had a job, he'd have to come up with half the money or go get your own place. Mm-hmm. That's how I believe. That's how I was brought up. You want something, you got to earn it. If people keep giving their kids stuff like I see today, how are they going to grow up?
Hey, Michael, we got people. Michael, we got, by the way, I agree with you, but you got people listening saying, man, Michael, he sounds awful harsh. And they're thinking, what kind of relationship does he have with those kids of his?
Let me tell you what, my kids are my best friends. They can appreciate the way I raised them up. This is old school. Today's generation is, I hear these kids crying in the store and their parents automatically give them what they want. When my kids cried in the store, they cried in the store. And I believe in sharing the inconvenience, the annoying. If my kid's going to bother me in the store, well, somebody else is going to get bothered too because I'm not giving into it. And I didn't. I got three wonderful kids. I got a bunch of grandkids now. I still got two in the military, and they're doing great. But if you keep giving your kids what they want, how are they going to mature? How are they going to grow up and realize, you know what, if I want that nice car, yeah, I got to work a little harder. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, listen, Michael, you're the dad award of the day. Listen, and some kids are listening in the backseat of the car. And you're thinking, I think my dad's okay. But listen, Michael gave some really important principles there. Holding kids accountable. Don't give them everything they want. We live in a culture today where they smash and grab and take. We're seeing that in our culture today. And it seems to be justified. We're seeing it on the streets of America. And if it's under $1,000, they don't worry about it. I mean, what's going on in our culture? What's going on in our world? This is not the way it should be in terms of where are the parents? Where are parents stepping up and being responsible? I know sometimes that's impossible. Kids leave. They're going to do what they're going to do. But we as parents are to train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. And when parents have a backbone, step up and be the responsible parent that God intended for us to be in a loving way. And listen, one of the things that we really make as an important point in our parenting exercise is understanding your children, spending time with your kids, getting behind their eyes, understanding how they see life, because every child is different. Listening to your child, know what they're viewing, know what they're doing online, knowing who their friends are, playing the game at your house and not the other kid's house. These are some really basic principles that can make a difference in raising a responsible adult. I'll tell you what, when we have the conference coming up in Albuquerque, because this is such a big issue, even though it's a marriage conference, I know most of the couples there will have kids of some age. I'm going to take a few minutes and teach the foundations of intentional parenting. And we'll get that into that conference that night as well. All right. Let me get back to the calls here. Let's go to Joan in Arizona. Joan's got a story of being a successful mom, raising a responsible adult, apparently. Joan, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Yes, hello. Good to be on your program. Love your program. I've been listening to it for many, many years because I'm a grandma now. So I just was going to reflect and have reflected on what the few things that you said, what changed you. And your program helped and my Bible study helped, to God, of course, first. But my children, I was kind of putting the things that I really wanted to do career-wise and sports-wise in front of my children. And I almost was losing my teenagers at one point. And I just decided, stop. I'm going to stop. And I gave it all up, and I backtracked, and I turned around, and I started studying God's Word more, and I started forgiving my husband and keeping my marriage. And I think those two things saved, obviously, with God overlooking it and wisely directing me and me studying, and I think that's what saved it. And now I'm just so proud that they're all married and they're wonderful, and they're my friends, and my husband and I are still married. We're in our older ages, so your age, sort of like same ages.
You know, it would have been a lot easier, Joan. You know this, a lot easier back then to just let the whole thing blow up and just keep doing what you're doing. It wasn't the easiest thing. But something prompted you to say, enough of this, it's not working.
Yeah, it was him. It was him teaching me, if what I've forgiven you for, Joan, you need to forgive him. You need to forgive him. So that was a monumental step, which touched my heart deeply, and I just knew that he was real and there, and he's the one I want to listen to. And ever since then, it's not saying everything's easy, but I'm just blessed beyond measure. So
fantastic.
I'm grateful.
Well,
so
thank you, Joan.
Stick together and, stick with her husband. You know, everybody has bumps. We bumps in the road, but seek help when they need it. Your program is wonderful. There's Bible studies. We have one. But to stick with God and wisdom, and don't give up.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. Just before we get I think we have time for one final caller. Just before we do that, some real basic principles. We know love, the Bible teaches about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is a behavior. It's not just an emotion. Loving your children means at times you're going to be following through with loving discipline. Communication is another important principle. Powerful. Consistency. Don't threaten, follow through, be an intentional parent. And then clear expectations. The goal is to raise a responsible adult that brings glory to God and benefit to the, to their family. And you can do it. You can do it by being intentional in your own walk every day. All right, let's go to Judy, who's joining us from Kansas today. Go right ahead.
Hey, I'm okay. Hey, my father was a very wise theologian, minister, gentle, humble man. And when my kids were little, and they're older now, he always told me over and over to just love them no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my advice, that it seems simple, but it's so Christ-like. And I just think if someone, it just helps me so much all the time as they get older and as they're adults.
Amen. Let me jump in. We're running out of time, but you're right, Judy. As we close off the show today, love covers a multitude of sins. But remember, sometimes love needs to be disciplined, and you're the parent. But love, when your kids know you truly love them, you truly are on their side, you're on their team, you want the best for them, you're there for them, and you have that kind of attitude that says, no matter where you go, who you are, I'm never going to not love you. But here's where I believe God would have you in your life to go. What a powerful connection. Got to run. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, Andrew and Stephen, and the rest of the team for Intentional Living, and we'll see you again next time.